Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Well, hello, everybody.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Hi, Rob Schneider.
Hey, Kevin David Thomas. Did you miss me?
I missed you. I always miss you. I always miss you.
I saw Kevin on Zoom and I just wanted to say, hello, gorgeous.
Hello, gorgeous. And we can, listeners, how are all of you? It's been a minute since we've said hello. Do you still subscribe to us? 2022.
It's been a long, long time from May to September.
Oh, I miss that voice. Talk about a great song.
September song?
Song from Knickerbocker Holiday. Wow. Beautiful.
So
song.
Now, I, speaking of obscure things, one, mm-hmm. this podcast, because I haven't seen you in such a long time. What's been going on in your life?
A lot of vacations, you might say. We've had taken a couple trips the last couple month and a half.
Go?
Or so. Well, as listeners, you may remember, we love our annual trip to the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. I believe that a favorite thing early on a couple years ago was Don Juan and Miguel. These two guys that I've literally watched since I was 15. They've been doing this sketch show at this Ren Fair for 30 years or so, 31 years. And they're still doing it. They're in their 60s now, and it is the closest thing to vaudeville that you can get, and it is the same jokes, the same sketches, and I am in that audience laughing my butt off, and I just love them so much. And they remember me. They're like, hey, you did the podcast about us that one time. And I was like, that's right. I'm that weirdo that just loves your entertainment so much. And well, three shows a day, you know, that kind of thing. Oh gosh, you just
No offense to Don Juan and Miguel, but authentically, there were no podcasts back then. So I just want to.
Fair enough. That's That is correct. The Ren Fair of because we're very. You're right. There's period piece.
I was going to say Ren Fair enough. Ren Fair enough. Thanks. That was my dad joke.
I love. I'm a dad. I love a good dad joke.
I was going to say, how old is young Crawford now?
My boy is just a little over 3 years old. He is. I'm happy to report he is matching pitch in singing. He sings along with.
Well, teach me.
Any parent out there knows that you are going to hear a lot of theme songs to children shows. And so I hear a lot of theme songs. If anyone knows the Paw Patrol theme song, I can sing it along right with you. And my son can sing full out, and it is probably the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. He's just wonderful. He's just the kindest kid. Sweetest, sweetest, sweetest boy ever. Yeah.
He's adorable. Can we get 16 bars of something?
I'm sure we can.
On video?
I gotta get a video. And I think I do actually have some, but I'll post it.
Can he slate?
I bet I could get him to actually Crawford Dwight Thomas. Yeah, he's great at his name, so I'm sure. But no, he's wonderful. And
2-1. It's been nap time is at 3 o'clock.
DGRW. Right for the top, kid. Get the good boutique agency. No, we're good. We're good. And so the big news, actually, to tell listeners, and I haven't really announced it officially, but when this pod comes out, it will be, you know, after over a decade of living in New York City, or two decades since 2002, I graduated college and been off and on living in New York City. Sutton and I and Crawford have decided to vacate the premises. We are going to move up to what's called the Upper Valley. This is in Vermont, New Hampshire border. I got a job music directing at Dartmouth College, and Sutton and I met in this community. We met playing Romeo and Juliet in Northern Stages production of Romeo and Juliet. Northern Stages is an Equity Theater, a professional theater up there, and I had done half a dozen shows there, so had Sutton. Then we met doing this play, and that was about 11 years ago. And so we're going to relocate up there and hope to ingratiate ourselves into the community, maybe perform again. I'll music direct wherever they'll allow me to. I'll be doing Pippin this fall. And so we're using this this job as an opportunity to create a new home and start afresh, you might say. So I'm a little scared, but I'm also really, 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 really excited for a new beginning. This is I'm looking forward to sort of like the next two decades of raising our son, not being in the city, and just having a little more peace and quiet. And honestly, Rob, it was not getting to do the things that I miss doing so much. Outdoor things, you know, hiking, skiing, like just stuff that I haven't gotten to do the last 20 years. Golfing, I mean, nerd, wow. But when I was a kid, I wanted to be a professional golfer. So time is not going any slower. And so we thought this is it. This is the time to do it. And this job came about. And it really was the straw that broke the camel's back. So yeah, that's the big news. Is I'm leaving New York City the end of November, but I'm leaving to take the job in September 11th. So I will be leaving, and then I'll bring Sutton and Crawford up in about 2 months. So that's the big news.
This school is so lucky to have you.
And
friends, if you're in the Dartmouth, New Hampshire area, hit up Kevin. Maybe you can go
find
see
me.
Would you say Pippin? Is that what the show
yeah,
is?
Yeah, Pippin this fall. And then, if you have a job for me, I'll take it somewhere else. I'm wide open. I'm really excited. It's a beautiful, it's a place that we've had lots of friends. We have lots of connections and just from having spent so much time there, that it really does a little bit feel like going home in many ways. So we're super excited to start something.
Well, I know that I will miss you, but like you said, I feel like I'll see you more now that you're leaving.
Yes, it's that New York City folk who listen, you'll know this, but just because you live in the same town doesn't mean you see each other. And I feel like I often will see my friends who live out of town more than I actually yes. see the friends who are in town, often 40 blocks away from me. That's just the way it is sometimes.
What a city.
Yes, what a city. God, I love her.
To quote Brownstone, what a city.
This is, I love our obscure references today.
Anyone Brownstone fans?
Oh, I am. Oh, I am. You never recognize the room.
And then Debbie Gravitt pops up.
Oh, her voice.
Why can't I sleep some more? What the fuck was that? I will be honest with you. I do not do a good Debbie Gravitt, but you know who does is Robbie Rizel.
Oh,
Robbie
Rizel.
Robbie Rizel's Debbie Gravitt is like perfect. Like I'm just saying, if Debbie gets sick, Robbie can easily step into the role.
He should maybe put that into his cabaret. You know, he's doing so much cabaret. Robbie, jeez. Throw some Debbie in there, man.
Come on. Throw all of it. It should be wall-to-wall Gravitt like they do wall-to-wall Sondheim.
Always wall-to-wall Gravitt.
3 hours of junk, man.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to her right now, because that is the special voice right there. That is something absolutely special. And listen to our interview with her, actually.
Yes!
That was a really fun interview.
Yes. So will you bring her up to Dartmouth? Who gets to go to Dartmouth before I, like, is well, it, it's going to be
that's
going to
be
me?
The hope is that, you know, if I can sort of ingratiate myself in some place, maybe. But yeah, the hope is to help pull the connections from New York elsewhere, you know, so that would be ideal as well.
I could live in New Hampshire. I have flannel.
Yeah. I have L.L. Bean. I love L.L. Bean.
I'll see you like on the hiking trail.
I've got a monogram backpack. Come on.
Walking with my walking stick. Morning, neighbor.
Live free. Live free or die.
Live free or die. He can ask me where I'm from. Grover's Corners.
Oh god, actually that's the play Sutton. Oh, so they built a new, like a $8 million really new, nice brand new theater from scratch in the town, White River Junction. That's on the Vermont side of things. And Sutton actually opened that theater. She was Emily in Our Town about 6 years ago. Isn't that wild?
Gosh, this is such a sweet story. I love where this is all going.
Thank you.
Yes.
But
so
Rob, how are back at you. How are you doing? What's going on with you these days?
Oh my gosh, I had a fantastic summer. Thanks for asking.
I feel like you did so many shows.
I did No Nanette.
Your favorite.
And oh my gosh, friends, I have two bucket list shows. One of them is No Nanette. The other one is Gypsy. So I've done No Nanette. Who wants to hire me for Gypsy? Work with anyone.
Yes,
bring
please.
In Tova. Bring in Joyce DeWitt.
You literally took the words out of my mouth.
Friends, we love Tova Felshu, but do me a favor. Go on to YouTube and just search in, type in Everything's Coming Up Roses, Tova Felshu. That's a Roses turn that you'll remember. Now, I will say, okay, folks, I'm really late to this party. So Kevin, you're going to have to help me out here. I'm now just getting into audio bootlegs and demos.
Oh, really?
Which is something for, I don't know why, I've just never been into. Are you the same?
I'm not, I just feel like there's so much stuff to consume that I just haven't gotten to that world. But I do know I have friends, internet friends and real friends, but like that are, there's a whole world of people who like collect this stuff, like major collectors of it. Am I wrong? I mean, I feel like there's a whole trading world and people who are like, oh, I've got this person went on for this lead, you know, and I've got the understudy going on for this and blah, blah,
yes.
blah. Like there's so many different collectors out there of this kind of stuff.
So I kind of understand how it works today, which is you go in, you can turn your phone on and like you're recording on your phone and that's how you get the bootleg.
Allegedly, if one were to do such an illegal act.
If one were to do it, I saw Kevin being frisked at Love Quirks yesterday. The man was pinned up against the wall at the Davenport, nay, new theater name. They were frisking him, and they said, sir, you cannot bootleg Love Quirks.
Seth Beeson-Hirsch will know. Seth Beeson-Hirsch will come after you. He will know.
There is a recording of Love Quirks on iTunes that you can listen to, sir. You do not need to bootleg. You need to move away from the building, sir.
I have loved Seth Beeson-Hirsch since watching his web series about 10
yes!
years ago called Every Day a little Seth. It was his love journey of trying to find someone to be with. And,
I love Seth, and he's created down over. Seriously, it's called, like I said, it's called Love Quirks. It's the new I Love You, You're Perfect Now Change. That's how I would describe it. If you love Friends and you love singing, go see it.
You saw it?
I did see it.
Good.
Yeah, of course I went. You know, I go and I support, and I don't go to bootleg and to sell audio recordings of off-Broadway shows to people. It's disgusting, Kevin.
Just the Broadway stuff. That's just disgusting. The Broadway stuff.
There's Kevin standing in like Times Square while someone's like trying to sell copies of like Nope.
Love Quirks. Got Love Quirks
Maverick
here.
Is like, I got Love Quirks. I have Bloomer Girl.
Right next to the guys who try to pass off their like R&B albums that are like their new rap, like you know where they are. And I'm like, I've got Love Match as well, or Love Quirks. I got either one.
Do you think those guys have like their own billboard charts? Like they all sit in the subway and
for
compare.
The
mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I sold this many today. I sold this many. Yeah.
Oh wow. Tyler got two. Good for Tyler. I don't know what he's doing. It's the marketing. How does he market? Well, he pins you up against the corner and threatens your life. That's aggressive marketing. Yeah, he learned that at college.
Yeah, Steve down the ways doing lovely gentlemen, kind ladies, and I just can't. I don't know where to get it. And he's just he's selling them off. Everyone's buying them.
Who's buying? It's Jim Brochu. It's Jim walking back and forth.
Peter Felicia.
And Peter Felicia getting into an argument about it.
We are obscure today. We are obscure today,
I haven't
folks.
Seen you in a while. That's why. So So I've been getting into these like these bootlegs, into these demos, and I'm surprised. There's also a lot of stuff of this on YouTube, which I was not surprised by. So you, my friend, you have a very large cast collection, a cast recording collection.
I love collecting cast
And you
albums.
Have a lot of records, right?
Lots of records. Too many, as my wife would say. Yes.
Have you transferred any of the records to a digital format yet? Or
I have
you still listen on vinyl?
I do listen on vinyl. My biggest issue is this.
Why am I shouting at you like we're in a war zone?
Because you're passionate, buddy. You're passionate. I like it.
Like
no,
he can't hear me.
This is really nerdy, but and if those of you who are vinyl people, you probably will understand this. My record player is not very fancy, and I find that the quality is quite mediocre. It's just a Victrola like 10-in-1 type situation. It was like $150. It's just not great quality. And I want to do this, but with the records, obviously you have to like sit and listen to the record as it's going digitally into the system. And I just feel like the quality is not good enough. So I'm just waiting. And maybe when I move to Vermont or something like that, I'll take the time. But no, actually, I just enjoy listening to the LPs just in real time. I don't really need to transfer them digitally.
What are some of the rarities that you've like you have, you think, in your record collection?
Oh my God, I have to really look. Well, obviously, Angel.
Oh, good, good. Yes, yes. People still reach out and tell me they're trying to find you an Angel album. Isn't that
John
sweet?
Moss still gives me so much shit on Twitter for it. Like every
for not
month,
having the Angel album?
Or for having it, or my liking it so much, and just always making fun of me for it. I love
it's
it.
It's a fun show.
It's a cute show. I have a rare demo of Peter Allen singing 70 Girls 70, about five songs from that. In fact, someone a Peter Allen fan actually reached out to me over castalbums.org. That's the website, everyone, that you can sort of catalog all of your cast albums.
And I'm doing that now.
At least once or twice a year, someone reaches out to me about something really obscure that I have. And they're like, how do you, like, there's a Georgia Stitt demo from like 15 years ago that I have, or 20 years ago that I have, that's all of her first songs. That's just incredible. And some great singers on it, Keith Byron Kirk and such. But no, the Peter Allen thing was a shock, because not many it's a very, very, very rare album, I'm told. And so it's just him singing all of the demos for 70 Girls 70. But it's really cool because it is a pressing. It is album pressing.
So I have just gotten into castalbums.org, which I think might have been a favorite thing at one point. Don't quote me.
Definitely.
Because
I've been doing it. I've been with them since they first started in like 2007 or 2008.
So for someone who does not know, because I am new to all of this, let's say I'm looking on like your collection, because like you said, you can post your entire collection on there, and I go, oh wow, he's really got the Chicago demos, and I really want them. Is it kosher for me to reach out on an email and say, hey?
People do all the time. Yeah. Like this lady wanted the 70 Girls 70, and I was like, it's an LP. I haven't burned it. I'm really sorry. I can take the time and I can try to burn it for you. Because anytime someone is like, I love this so much, I'm passionate about it, help me find it, I will do whatever I can. If it's the passion, if it's to make money, that's different. I don't want to make money. But if you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm a diehard Peter Allen fan and I've never heard this album before, then I'm going to do what I can. But I didn't get back to her for a couple days, and then she's found it somewhere else. But I get emails. Oh yeah, people have been like, oh, do you have this? I would love to trade you for it. And most of the time, I don't want to trade. I like to own the copy of it. So I'll just give it to them. I'll just like, here you go. I'll just send you the digital files if it's a digital, something digital. It doesn't happen all the time. And I just think if I was that passionate about something, then I would want someone to share it with me. If it was like some rare, like the National Theater production of Little Night Music, I'd want that instead of having to pay $120 in 1999 for it, which I did.
Oh my God.
2001. Yeah.
What? For I spent too much money. Of Judy Dench, that album?
For the CD. Yeah. For that. Because back then, there was like only a very small, and it was London, and it was very rare, and it was on eBay. And it was like one of the most expensive ones. Anyone that knows this album will tell you that was a really rare at the time album. Little do we know.
Sitting on the bed in profile.
In red. Mm-hmm, in red. Of course. Yep.
Looking at Lawrence Guittard.
Yeah, Lord's Guitar. Yes, now playing Frederick. Yeah, totally.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay. Right? So this is actually very good for me to know, because there's a couple of things I've been looking for, and I see it on castalbums.org. But I was like, my fear was like, I would email you and be like, hey, and I would get a response being like, you cannot do this.
No, it's very much the point of it. In fact, I think the worst thing that can happen is they'll just ignore you. I mean, I've just been like, nah,
I can't
I'm not
gonna, be ignored anymore. Hit it, baby.
And just to explain, listeners, this castalbums.org, it's an amazing user-friendly website. It's self-sustained and everything, but it's basically like the internet Broadway database or internet movie database, but of cast albums.
Yes.
So every page is clickable. So let's say, for instance, if we're talking about like shows that we know, let's say we're doing a Little Night Music, you'll go to the title, it'll list all of the cast albums of Little Night Music that ever existed. Not only that, it'll say the orchestrator, so you could click the name of the orchestrator and look at all the things that they've orchestrated. It's that kind of thing where you can just click and go to all of the information, and all the users update, like Wikipedia, the users update it ourselves. So as we get more information, people will update it. Now it's been 20 years, so everything's pretty much updated, because you've got some really diehard collectors out there. But it's a great resource. It's both a place that you can click, you can add your little albums to the collection. So even within a Little Night Music, if you have a specific version of the original, like if you have the LP, then you can actually go to that version and click it and put it in your collection. And then so you can see other people's collections. And then also it's just a great resource, a reference resource. I think that there's lots of information there that you just like, oh, I didn't know. So many times there'll be a very lesser known thing, and I'll be like, I wonder who the singer is on this, because it's not listed on my album.
Yeah.
Go to cast albums, and then they'll actually list, like, someone went in there and listed all the singers, because there's, great, wonderful, diehard fans that we all are.
That is so, seriously, thank you so much for letting me know all of that. That is incredible. Cool. Folks, my name on there, I think, is like Rob W. Schneider 25. So if you see me on there, say, hey, Queen.
Yeah, and I'm, my initials, KDT628, my birthday. So KDT628, that's me on the guest albums.
Oh, wait, I'm going to add you. Okay, this will be great. I can't wait to see what's in your collection.
You can add? I didn't know you could add people.
I didn't know. I'm just making it up.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
You want to talk about an amazing collection? Can I tell you what I did this summer?
What?
What if I told you that the largest, greatest collection of musical theater history was behind a Starbucks in Los Angeles, California?
Did you see John Kendrick?
I did not. I saw Miles Kruger.
Oh my gosh, the other one. Are you kidding me? That's like, we're talking. Yes.
American Institute of the Musical Theater. And folks, I told Miles I was going to say this and I'm passing it on to you. For those of you that aren't aware what this wonderful institute is, it's run by a gentleman named Miles Kruger, who's like the dean of American Musical Theater. He has a massive 17-room, might be more than that, two houses combined in Los Angeles, and every single area of this room, folks, and I'm not, these are big rooms, is stacked with something musical theater related. He has he's been doing this since 1978. He has Oscar Hammerstein's personal own copy of Showboat. He has Agnes DeMille's scarf from Brigadoon. He has every single thing, every soundtrack that was ever made from a movie musical, he has that. Just about every cast recording, he has that. Radio broadcasts that were never preserved of shows from the 20s and 30s with original casts, he has that. He has every single playbill. He showed me a playbill from The Black Crook. Mm-mm. He has just about everything you can imagine, but the pièce de résistance of the said collection is something called Ray Knight Films, K-N-I-G-H-T, Ray Knight. And for those of you who don't know who Ray Knight was, that's okay. Ray Knight was an older gentleman who, from 1935 to 1973, would come up from Florida with his movie camera and film Broadway shows. Now, there's no audio, because he could only use the camera, and he would only really record during loud numbers so nobody heard the whirring of the camera. But Miles showed me footage of Ethel Merman and Anything Goes, Jimmy Durante and Jumbo. The earliest thing in the collection is Anything Goes with Ethel Merman, and the last thing that this man recorded was the curtain calls of A Little Night Music. So if you can think of a musical between 1935 and 1973, there is probably some footage of it in Miles's collection. Full color. I saw the transition into the Embassy Ball in My Fair Lady. I saw a lot of Most Happy Fella. It's incredible. So folks, here's the thing. Miles doesn't have a website. He might be changing that soon. But he is listed in the phone book. And you can call him, or you can Google his phone number, and you can call him and say, I'd like to make an appointment to come and see the material. It give yourself a lot of time because it is an epic, epic afternoon. And I spent a few days with him. So his big claim to fame, if you're a Miles Kruger fan, is he wrote the definitive book on Showboat, the making of Showboat from the 1970s. I'm sorry, the book from the 70s, not the show, obviously. He is a wealth of information and knowledge. I believe, oh God, I hope he doesn't get angry. He's either 86 or 88 years old.
Thank you, Miles. Thank you so much, Miles.
In all the time that I spoke with him, because I would get there and spend literally 12, 13 hours with him.
Yeah.
He never once forgot a name. He never once forgot a date. He never once looked at a piece of paper to give you information. He is a wealth of information. And like I said, because there's no website for it, do whatever you can to, if you're in Los Angeles, and hit up Miles and see this stuff. And like I said, folks, you'll see I'm not exaggerating and not being hyperbolic. Every room of this 23 room house is filled to the brim with musical theater.
We should talk to him. I mean, we should have a chat with him. I would love to.
I will say he does have a landline. So I did call him and I got a busy signal. So
we could do it the Mimi Hines way. Remember when we first got together when we was doing chats, so like we would have like Rob's iPhone and we'd have our microphones pointed down to it to talk to the George S. Irving or whomever it was that was on the telephone.
And to clarify, George S. Irving was not on Grindr. I forgot to shut off my notifications.
Oh my gosh.
But if he was on Grindr, amazing. I hope his screen name was Madame Lucy.
Nice.
Thank you.
Well done.
That's what I hope it was. So anyway, folks, please go over if you can. Kevin, I have never seen anything like this and nobody knows about it. He had huge supporters. I mean, he was very good friends with Stephen Sondheim. He was good friends with Oscar Hammerstein. I mean, this guy, because he got in, you know, I'll be honest with you. He probably got into the stuff when like the same age like Charles Kirsch has.
Yes. So yes. Like, and he's been collecting for so long and
people know. Yeah.
And I find, you know, you probably obviously know this, but you know, the people that have succeeded in writing, you know, like Sondheim and all these other people, they respect the researchers and the people who are preserving it, I would say, just as much as an audience member or anyone else that's going to consume it. But the preservation of this material, these people that do this, these people who have just like rooms and rooms and rooms of the doing things the way that you and I would love to do it, but have done it consistently and steadily for so many decades, that really is very special. And it's really a wonderful thing because this is a very niche art form, isn't it? And there's not a lot of people who are making tons of money collecting this stuff, and it is so niche that but it is so valuable to preserve.
It is.
And we're out of the, you know, we're getting into the digital age, so like this gap of the, you know, the paper age, it's important that we preserve it, you know. So I'm really proud, I'm really happy to know that this exists. And I hope people reach out and please. How generous of him to open up his collection to so many people.
And not only is it his collection, it's his home. He lives there.
Yeah.
One of the rooms is his bedroom,
yeah,
which is also filled with wonderful things. And so God bless him for just being like, I want this stuff to have a home.
Yeah.
Folks, if you go, please, he is a wonderful human being. And if you want for a treat, there's a bakery on the corner he really likes. Take him to lunch there.
I'm sure
he'll appreciate it. He's got great stories.
This is
actually a true story because he was able to prove it to me. He was supposed to be Freddie Eynsford Hill in the original My Fair Lady and showed me all the original material that Lerner and Lowe had crafted for the show. I mean, he sang for me verses from it I had never heard before.
Oh, we got to talk to him.
Yeah, it was. He's an incredible human being. So, folks, if you're in Los Angeles, go and hit up Miles because it's a special thing. Friends, like I said, I've been getting into these demos and stuff. And so, Kevin, there's a couple that I've encountered that I'm just curious if you've heard of them and what your thoughts are on them.
Okay.
First of all, is a show that it's on YouTube, folks. So you don't have to like do anything illegal for it. You can actually go onto YouTube. Folks, I need more information on this show. It's called Halloween. And it's by Mitch Lee. It was out of town, I think, in 1972. It had Barbara Cook in it and Dick Shawn and Jose Ferrer. But I was doing some research on it, and I came across a quote in something in the New York Times called On the Rialto. Apparently, this was a section back then, right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And so they came across this thing on the news on the Rialto about Halloween that was going to come in. And this was actually the quote from the article. And I just have to read it to you. Quote, actually, the musical Connie's from a straight play. Sorry, comes from a straight play Michaels wrote, but never saw produced, called Saltpeter in the Rhubarb, and revolves around a love story in which Charlie vies with a young man named Leibowitz for the love of a beautiful girl. Leibowitz starts out as a homosexual and turns straight. Besides the three leads, besides the three leads, four midgets will be needed.
Quote,
they are, says Michaels, quote, the little people of America, end quote. So, folks, what the fuck was Halloween? What the fuck was Halloween? Can somebody tell us, please, what Halloween was? As I understand it, it's like there's going to be like they're vying for Barbara Cook's hand. That's also odd to me. And for her, she has to choose between Jose Farrar and Dick Shawn.
Ooh.
And Dick Shawn apparently was a homosexual and now he's straight.
Oh, okay.
That's how it works. Do you know what cures homosexuality? Four little people.
Well, I was gonna say Barbara Cook. So what did we type to get this? Because if I type Halloween, I know I'm gonna get some other things. So what did you?
You know what?
Because you sent this to our group chat, but I'm curious, like what?
I will put it in the info description below as well. But you can type in Halloween 1972 Barbara Cook, and this should come up for you. But I'll also put a link in the info description. So this is a show, Kevin, you're unfamiliar with as much as I'm unfamiliar with.
Never. It's rare that you will bring something and I will say, I never even knew that Mitch Lee wrote a score to this. I had no idea.
If anyone heard it or saw it, please let me know.
Tell us.
Let us know, because I am so curious about it. Okay, I have fallen in love with a demo of a musical that never got to Broadway. I am listening to it 24/7. It is fantastic.
Okay.
Oh, God, I hope I'm not building it up too much.
Oh, my gosh, I'm excited.
Arthur, the musical.
Oh, the one that was done at Goodspeed.
Yes.
With Greg Edelman.
Yes, but this is the demo of it before it went to, like, Goodspeed and before it went to, I think, Chicago. I think it was at, like, Marriott Lincolnshire or something like that. Anyway, it's Harry Groener and Liz Callaway. And they're the two leads on it. And folks, wow. I think what makes this really unique, one, I love the movie Arthur. I think it's a very funny film. But it's the people that wrote it were also the same people that wrote Friends. Mm-hmm. So David and Marta Kaufman. So yes, the people from Friends did write a musical. And one of them was called Personals. The other one is called Arthur. And there is so much wonderful music in this. I cannot figure out like why this just did not take off. But yeah, I think it's fantastic, fantastic demo. Do you know anything about it?
No, other than the song that I think I sang a song from it, like Walking on Sunshine or something like that at 54 Below. Yeah, at a 54 Below thing.
Oh, no, wait, you did Fun for me. Fun? Did you do Fun?
Fun, that's what it is. Sorry, there was a different thing.
Walking on Sunshine, I think, was the Smile thing that Carolyn
That's what
wrote.
It was. That's right. That was it. That's right. So yes, I apologize. That's the only thing I know really. But so is this also on YouTube? This Arthur the Musical demo?
It's not, but you know, you can always slide into a DM and or if you're one of our Patreon subscribers, I mean, it'd be wonderful to repay you in some way, shape or form. I also stumbled across, because I've been doing a lot of like deep dives and digging. I can't tell you how I got it, just know that I got it. Is the entire Ben Bagley collection.
Digitally?
Digitally. Somebody put, so friends, if you don't remember, Ben Bagley was a record producer. His company was called Painted Smiles, I think, right? Wasn't that the label?
Oh, yeah, and he was, we've talked a lot about him over the years, and he was a bit of a interesting fella.
Yes, he was a fun guy.
Yeah, quirky.
He and his cat would produce the albums, right?
That's right. Cats always got to mention. They always got to mention in the bios in the back, because the bios in the back of these albums are why they were so legendary, because they were so quirkily written, shall we say,
and made up,
fully. I mean, and fully. Made up. Yeah. Like, just like whatever he wanted to say, he said.
Like Katharine Hepburn is on some of these albums, and in her bio, he said she was like her last movie was called like Love Slave from Chile or something. Like something very very stupid and silly that you would never have done. Very funny stuff. Anyway, his big claim to fame though was in the 70s, I think, and the 80s, he started producing records called Ben Bagley revisited, and he would revisit a certain composer. So it would be Cole Porter revisited or Rodgers and Hart revisited. And he would get celebrities and musical theater singers to sing really obscure songs by these composers.
That's
and
right.
Some of this work is just fantastic. It was only on record. And when he passed away, he was working on putting them all on CD.
Mm-hmm.
And that never happened.
No.
But there's about 20 albums out there, folks. And now somebody was kind enough to put their record collection into a digital format. And they're wonderful. So if you've got any like memories of any of the Ben Bagley stuff, please let us know. Mm-hmm. What else, Kev? I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's exciting that's coming up. I'm going to miss you.
I know. I'm going to miss you too. I'm trying to think. I don't even know if any new shows that are coming. I know there's like, I read an article just saying that there's, you know, 10 new shows possibly coming to Broadway in the fall, but there's like 50 that want to, but it's just getting money and all of that stuff. But I like seeing that the gears are slowly starting to pick up steam, I think, you know.
It's very exciting.
It is. We're getting there. And of course, financially, everything trickles down to the creation of new art, I feel like, later than when we've ground to a halt, you know, the industry essentially stopped. Everybody kept writing, of course, because that's what you can do, but there's not a lot of money to be made in workshops and productions right now for new things. It's more of theaters are trying to make up the money, you know, do a popular show to try to like make some money back. But I really look forward to the next year or two and seeing what kind of new works are going to come out, because as a result of so many people being locked down, because right, gestation period for a new musical takes a couple years.
Yeah.
So if people have been writing steadily during the pandemic, then let's see what we have. So I'm very, very excited to see what the future is going to be for musical theater in the next year or two.
Me too. I mean, I think there's a lot of great, you're right. There's been, it's a nice thing. It's like at the airport, like people are circling waiting for a free theater to open up.
That's right. Which theater, really, money, all of that. Yeah.
Which is nice, because we haven't had that in a long time.
That's right. I'm very excited about that. So,
how many years did you ever go by like a theater and like, God, why is this place still dark?
Exactly.
Or can another show go in there? Oh, some big news happened, Broadway news over the summer. James Earl Jones and Lena Horne are getting their own theaters.
About damn time.
James Earl Jones is the Court.
And Lena Horne
is the Brooks Atkinson.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That feels right. That feels good. That feels real good.
I would also love to have seen an Ethel Waters.
I think Ethel Waters is really good too. Yep.
I think an Ethel Waters would have been a real nice one. So folks, add that next to your list. Also, can we just name the Majestic the Halprince?
Why is it not the Halprince?
Like, what are we waiting for?
He needs one.
The Phantom of the Opera has been there for ages.
Exactly.
Ages. And I know, Kevin, we can rename the Ambassador the Walter Bobby for you.
That's right. That's about the only theater it's going to be.
The Walter Bobby. It thinks it's a theater, and it really isn't. I'm kidding. That's a joke. That is a joke.
Oh my goodness.
That is a joke. We're going out with a bang, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Tell it like it is.
As always. That's right, baby.
I also got a bootleg of Madeline Kahn in Hello, Dolly.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Now,
directed
that's very
by our very good friend, Leroy Reams.
Leroy Reams.
Folks, we are aware that we did not do an in memoriam last year. So we will do an in memoriam soon enough. We haven't with Leroy. We'll see who he remembers from 2021 passing.
We'll still get some good stories, I have no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Folks, there is so many things he says that we have to cut out, because I'm like, we can't put this in someone's in memoriam.
No.
I won't say who he was telling the story about, but we mentioned somebody who had passed once, and he said, I loved her. He goes, I didn't think I was going to like her because she seemed a little too goody two shoes for me. But the first time I met her, we were walking down the street and she tapped me on the shoulder and she said, you see that alley over there? I gave my boyfriend a blowjob in that alley there. And I was like, we can't put that in someone's memorial.
Can't do that in the memorial. That's definitely going to go on the cutting room floor. Good stuff. Cutting room floor.
But it goes on the cutting room floor. Folks, for $100 Patreon, we'll tell you who that person was with photos.
Or just get Rob some of his demos and bootlegs that he's been looking for.
Is there anything you're looking for, Kevin? Or should I just go to your cast albums wish list?
No, I don't even do that. I have so much stuff to listen to here that I'm never really looking. I'm always just excited to see whatever I have. So I don't really have a wish list, to be honest.
Really? Is there something you've been listening to a lot lately? And please say Arthur the Musical. Nope.
Mm-mm.
Paw Patrol, right?
No, I just still when I have time, because I don't have a lot of time to listen to myself, because I have this child running around. I do put on the Sounds of Broadway, Stu's yes! channel, so, which is a great resource if you ever just don't know what to listen to, folks. And there's many streaming sites out there, so please don't get me wrong. I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. There's lots of musical theater radio, all that, but I love the Sounds of Broadway because it's an app. I can just open it up on my phone. He cuts in every like five or six songs and is like, and that was blah blah blah. So it feels very much like, you know, old time radio. I kind of love it. So
I love Stu stuff.
Very eclectic mix too of stuff. He'll be playing like, you know, what's the Middle East? Oh brother. He'll do like Oh Brother followed by My Fair Lady, you know. So it's really
kind of
random.
How I want to see it in a season.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so.
Starting with Oh Brother, which is what our box office people are saying when they're looking at the revenue.
OPEC Maiden. I love that song. Yes.
I forgot OPEC Maiden is in it.
Oh, there's so many cringy stuff, but it's such a good score.
A loud and funny song is really great.
Yep.
Oh, is it My Brother?
Da 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 da, I'm like a glass of water.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Da 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 da. How does that go? To like another. To like my brother.
Yes, that's it. Yes, that's a good one. I like that one. And also, I'm going to leave you all with a hot take if I can.
Do it.
I listened to the bootleg of Merlin.
Oh, someone has to. Good.
With Doug Henning and Cheetah Rivera and Mr. Nathan Lane.
Uh-huh.
Who once said, and I thought this was the funniest thing, he said Doug Henning's greatest magic trick was he could make a whole audience disappear. I was like, that's really funny. That's very funny, Mr. Lane. Thank you for making us laugh.
Yes.
And congratulations on your Emmy win.
That's right, Mr. Lane.
Like, he's fucking listening.
I know.
Thank you.
We had a great time with him, and he was actually, was probably one of the interviews where I went into it a little nervous because I'd heard so many things and walked out of it thinking, this man is so passionate about theater. Yeah. Anyway.
God, yeah.
But Merlin. But Ian was in Merlin.
He was in Merlin. The score to Merlin is pretty good.
Okay.
Oh, God. Okay. I know I'm going to get feedback for that. It was Elmer. But listen to this. It was Elmer Bernstein writing the music.
Right. And no hack. I mean, my goodness. No. All the movie scores. I mean, this man is a phenomenal composer.
But the first few numbers, actually, I really liked.
Okay, I'm going to revisit.
Yeah, so I don't know, folks. Maybe it was just me. Maybe I was not feeling well, but I didn't think it was. I was expecting something like atrocious to hear on the score. Mm. And I do not think that at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for
check out Merlin.
Yeah, check out. It's about magic. It's about wonder. Right? George Leandro on the Tony Awards. And then Doug Henning comes out. Don't you love a surprise? Man can't sing, doesn't know what the hell's happening, but he looks happy to be there. I also found a bootleg of Robert Goulet in Lacage. Audio.
I'm sorry. From like recent, recent in quotes, I mean like 15 years ago.
Recent,
I mean the one with George. Yes. George, my favorite. Gary Beach. Yeah.
You're
of course.
George,
oh Harry. Boy. I know.
Yeah. But I listened to it. My memory is right. He was a fabulous singer.
The man, I was just listening to one of his other, The Happy Time. I was listening to The Happy Time. And the man could phrase music like no other. And I know we joke about it. And I know that when I listened to a couple of his albums in the 60s, if you were conducting along and 1, 2, 3, 4, I mean, the beat is gone to 5 measures away and there's Goulet trying to catch up to it. Fine, I love it.
I'm gonna take my time.
Yeah, then I'm gonna get there. But it works for me. It totally, no one can sing a song and craft a lyric the way he can, and it's great.
Thank you, Kev. I appreciate the kind words. Much appreciated, pal. Mi amigo. Can I say that still? Okay.
Say that still.
Sorry. My amigo.
There you go.
Much better now. Much better.
Very good, Bob.
Thank you, Kevin. I was up for Halloween with Barbara Cook, and she wouldn't want to work with me. So
why not?
Well, I did a trick or treat, and it involved me just pushing her down a flight of stairs. And I said, "Trick, Barbara." I got my walking papers, and after 6 weeks in the hospital, she could walk too.
All right, Bob. Thanks for that.
Back to heaven. Take me away.
Well, folks, there you have it. You've gotten all the good stuff that you missed. So
you can, and if you want to thank anyone for this episode, make sure to thank the great Hal Linden.
Do it. Do it. Say it.
Who stood us up?
Yep, we were supposed to interview Hal, and now we're just talking instead. So there you go, folks.
Oh my gosh.
Oh boy. So, well, we hope all of you are well. We hope all of you are happy and living well and seeing good theater and consuming everything, and your lives are all going well. And we miss you, and we'll be back soon.
Yes, we will be back quite soon. It was so good to talk to everybody. Once again, if you're in the New Hampshire area.
In Vermont, yep.
In Vermont. Oh, it's in Vermont?
It's right on the border. So Hanover's on one side of the border, and then White River Junction's on the other side of the border. So it's sort of like, the area is called the Upper Valley. So if you're just up in that area, say hello to me. Come say hi.
Yes, go see this wonderful man. And then I'll be doing the Addams Family in New York in November. So if you're in the city, and also, once again, we say this and we really mean it. Please, if you're in the city and want to see us, or now you're in Kevin's new location, please email us, tweet us, Instagram us. We love seeing all of our wonderful listeners. And it was so to see everybody or hear everybody just acknowledge everyone's presence.
That's right.
And here comes Hal Linden. I'm kidding. he Charles Kirsch signed him to an exclusive.
Stop it.
Charles was like, I'll break your kneecaps.
He's mine first.
You get my table scraps. He was such a nice kid, wasn't he? What happened to him?
God. And Charles, podcast to plug that we love so much, is called
Backstage Babble.
There you go. And so go check out Backstage Charles, because Babble. You can listen to all of some of the people we've interviewed, but also some other people that Charles has done such beautiful, beautiful work over the years as well. So
yeah.
You'll hear a different perspective, you know, seeing as he's literally one quarter of our age. No, I'm kidding. He's half our age.
Yeah, but now he's taller than us.
You know, he is.
Because he's a teenager. You have a growth spurt.
I can't believe it. Oh,
the man's
gosh.
Taller than all of us.
He's growing up so fast.
We asked him for J2. We were like, can you give us some like titles of shows that you think might work there? There were shows I was Googling. I was like, what the hell is this one? So
Something More.
Something More. I think Something More was on there. I remember Got to Go Disco was on there. So I was like, yeah. It's like, good for you, kid.
Keeping it alive. Thanks,
good
Charles. Keeping
Thank
it alive.
You.
God love you.
All right, folks. We will talk to you soon. Take care of yourselves.
Take care of yourselves.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.